This brings us this morning to the reading of God's Word. Our passage this morning comes from the 18th chapter of Acts, verse 18 through 23. Let us read the Word of God. After this, Paul stayed many days longer, and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. And he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they had asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail for Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. And after spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. This is the reading of God's Word. I would ask you to consider with me this morning a pattern of life given to us by our Lord in the Scriptures, both in the way he lived his own life and also in the way he discipled and commanded his disciples and apostles to live their lives, both before and after his ascension. A pattern which many have recognized and labeled accordingly, simply as the way of the cross. A pattern of suffering in order to serve. A pattern which our Lord not commanded for his people, but also a pattern which he himself promised he would himself fulfill and also perfect in every one of his people. And so, as with the justification of his people, the Lord also has promised their sanctification. As it is written, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That is, not only does the Lord declare his people righteous and just as he is when he justifies them by clothing them with his very own righteousness, but at the same time, he also begins more and more to make them righteous, just as he is, by sanctifying them, with the promise of presenting them to the Father without spot or blemish at his return. For this is what is meant by the glorifying of his people, that we would be made righteous after the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The primary difference between the Lord's work in justifying his people and sanctifying them being that, unlike in their justification, in their sanctification, the Lord empowers them by his Spirit to become willing and able participants in the work in which he is doing, that which he is working in them to will and work according to his own good pleasure. In effect, making them more and more Christ-like in their love for God and for one another. And the Scriptures are full of this pattern of the Lord sanctifying his people. A pattern of suffering in order to serve. The book of Hebrews actually provides us with an entire list of such instances sprinkled throughout the entire Scriptures in the Old Testament, people whose lives followed this very pattern. A list which Christians throughout the ages have endearingly referred to as the heroes of their faith. That is, of the Christian faith. On account of the extraordinary ways in which people lived out their faith in the midst of suffering. Ways and decisions which they made in such times of suffering and adversity, which we approvingly admire from a distance. And yet at the same time, we fear and pray that the Lord would never, ever bring such things upon us and those whom we love. As Tolkien's beloved Lord of the Rings character Gandalf would remind us, so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them or us to decide. All we have to decide is the time that is given us. Such was the decision set before Paul, as we have seen, the apostle, during his time in Corinth, when he too was in danger of being silenced as the realization of his own weakness gripped him. And fear and trembling began to take its toll upon him. The suffering that the Lord had brought upon Paul was not his to decide. That decision belonged sovereignly with the Lord. And like any of us, Paul prayed, and perhaps upon this very occasion, he prayed many times over that the Lord would remove this thorn from his side, only to have the Lord reply to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And so Paul had a decision to make about his circumstances, about that which he was suffering, about whether or not God truly loved him, and whether or not God was truly powerful enough to deliver him. And interestingly enough, just before Paul appears to have come to a decision about these things, the Lord intervened to remind Paul of two things: that he was and would always be with him, and that Paul's suffering would be turned for good. If you consider it, what the Lord was reminding Paul of in the midst of his suffering was the very things which we all tend to question when we suffer things in life or circumstances: God's love and God's power. His love for us and His power over the things which... The very questions our Lord asked when He was on the cross: "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The very questions which God answered when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand with all authority over heaven and earth. The assurance of his love and the sending of his Son, that whoever so believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And the power of God in the raising him from the dead. The assurance of the gospel, you see. The very love and power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not that those who do believe it might not suffer, but that in their suffering they might be made more like Christ. More and more content to be who they are, who God has called them to be. More and more dependent upon the grace of God and not themselves. More content to be where God has placed them instead of somewhere else. More and more at home among those who suffer with the gospel and are becoming more Christ-like. And more burdened for those who suffer without the gospel. And after considering such things, not only did Paul make a decision to remain in Corinth, it appears that he made a solemn vow to do so, remaining there in Corinth longer than in any other city to which the Lord had led him up to this point in time, teaching the Word of God for well over a year and a half, to the Gentiles and to any Jews who were willing to listen, but not with lofty speech or wisdom, but in weakness and in fear and in trembling And in accord with what the Lord had spoken to him that night in Corinth, he decided and vowed to know nothing and to preach nothing except Christ and Him crucified. The love of God in the giving of His only Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the power of God in raising Him from the dead in order to save His people from their sins. That they might not suffer, but that in their suffering they might become more like Him. To save them and to serve them. A wisdom not of this age, nor the rulers of this age, but a secret and hidden wisdom of God, decreed from before the foundations of the world, for the glory of all who would love Him and His appearing in the person of His only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, might be drawn by His love and power to love Him and to love one another. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. A true and sure wisdom for making every decision we are called upon by God to make in this fallen world. As we suffer along with the whole of creation, longing for the return of Christ. The text of our passage this morning centers largely upon the effect of Paul's decision to believe for himself what the Lord had reminded him of. His love for Him and His sovereign power, over that which he suffered. In short, the gospel. Christ and Him crucified. And having his own heart open to believe the word of the Lord, not only did Paul believe it, he committed himself to know nothing except it, that is, Christ and Him crucified, and to teach nothing else except Christ and Him crucified. And this also, ensuring it with this, what appears to be some type of a Nazarite vow, in which at the very least he refrained from cutting his hair. Likely for the whole duration of the entire year and a half in which he remained in Corinth. And having so committed himself over the past year and a half to viewing his sufferings through Christ and Him crucified, he had become more dependent upon God rather than upon himself. More content with being himself and where the Lord had called him to be. More at home with those who also suffered for the gospel. And consequently, as we see in the end of our passage, more burdened for those whom he feared were suffering without it, especially within the church. And having believed the gospel and committed himself to it, what Paul had become in his sufferings, you see, was more Christ-like. And having walked through this experience with the church in Corinth, he longed to return to Syria, to his home church in Antioch, where he might share this faith and these experiences with them, that he might encourage them and build them up in their faith. And likewise, be encouraged himself all the more by their faith. And Paul's eagerness to reach Antioch is only heightened by the way in which Luke covers the distance from Corinth to Antioch in Syria. A distance of more than 1,200 miles in no less than 5 verses, with barely anything to tell in between, except for what might show Paul's haste to return, and what Luke might set up and set the stage for his third missionary journey. And we see that Paul and Aquila with him, And Silas and Timothy appear to be left in Corinth. Having satisfied his vow, Paul gets a haircut. And there's a brief layover in Ephesus where Priscilla and Aquila decide to stay, but even after having received a favorable hearing from the local synagogue, Paul declines to stay, even when they request him to. But promises to return if the Lord wills it. And after arriving in Caesarea, Paul goes up to briefly greet the church in Jerusalem to his home church in Antioch, where he longed to be and to go the whole time, which he reaches in verse 22 of our passage, where Luke tells us he worked for some time before starting out on his third missionary journey, also for the purpose of revisiting the other churches which he had helped to plant, to strengthen the disciples, just as he longed to do in Antioch. Both with what Christ had revealed to him by his Spirit and Word, and also by who Christ had made him to be. He had called him to suffer. I can vividly remember a similar pattern in my own life, how the Lord first opened my heart to believe His Word. And it was only later and through a great deal of suffering that He revealed that it was not something I chose to do for Him, but rather something He chose to do for me. And if you have walked long with God, then you also know of this grace of which I speak. And if you haven't or don't yet know, then the decision lies before you as well. As our Lord reminded Paul, I would remind you also to be encouraged. To be encouraged in your sufferings. And give your full attention to the Word of God. As to a lamp shining in a until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And when Christ does arise in your heart, commit yourself to knowing nothing except Christ and Him crucified, the love and the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not for the purpose of escaping suffering, but that through their suffering, they might be made more like Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Holy God, we do thank You so much for Your Word, for speaking to us that we might know You, that we might know Your love, that we might know Your power. We might know Your Son, Jesus Christ, and You through Him. Lord, that no matter what we face in this life, we might glorify You in the hope of eternal life and in the joy of knowing God forever. We praise You. And we pray for those today who are suffering, who are fearful, as we all are, Lord. Help us to decide what to do. And Lord, help us to remember Your love and Your power in the gospel as we make our decisions, every one of them. We ask this blessing upon us and indeed upon Your whole world. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.